you greetings from Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Horton, Michigan, and do pray for us as we transition. We hope to secure a house soon, and we've been making a lot of trips down and looking, and Tuesday we will close on the sale of the business, and then this weekend the channels will be moving to Florida. So a lot of things going on, and we do appreciate your prayers in all of these things, and as do the channels. I'm sure it's going to be quite a move for them, and it'll be an expensive move with the gas prices as they are, and so just do pray for them and continue to remember them in your prayers. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Begin reading in verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace that was mentioned there in verse 7, the exceeding riches of his grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In verse number 8, I read my Bible with a lot of bad habits. We don't often slow down enough to really get what it is saying, and it's a verse that has been preached on many times and studied much and spoke about much, used much for the sake of argument. And we often read it like this, and it's a subtle difference, but notice, just read it with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's a subtle difference, but it's a big difference. The word that I changed was the gift of God to a gift of God. It's in our King James Bibles, it is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. You say, well, are there other gifts? Well, but they're all of grace. All of them that there are of grace. There's a lot of things that go along with grace. But by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is superior to every other thing. A lot of things that go along with it. The topic of our message, if we were to title it, I suppose, this evening, would be Amazing Grace. We sing the song. In fact, almost all the religious world sings the song without any idea of what it really means. And though we may know what we call the doctrines of grace, do we really understand how amazing it is? It is amazing. And even though I may preach a message called Amazing Grace, I certainly won't be able to show you Amazing Grace. It's not possible for me to do that. It is the gift of God. It is superior to every other thing. It is the means of every other thing that we receive. God placing favor on us that we don't deserve. It is an amazing thing to think about. For by grace are you saved? The grace of God can save us. There's nothing grace can't do. If the grace of God, the favor of God, the power of God upon us undeservedly to save our souls, there is nothing that grace cannot accomplish. For by grace are you saved through faith. Unmerited, unearned, favor of God upon us. I don't often preach topical messages. It's not typically what I target to do as I begin to study, but occasionally I do, and this will be one of those. So we'll hop around from a few verses to look at the grace of God. Look at a few aspects of it, and again, it will just be just a few aspects because there's no way to do justice to the idea of the grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know, if you talk to a lot of Christians, you would think the gift of God was streets of gold. If you talk to a lot of Christians, you would think the gift of God is a mansion someday. The gift of God was an escape of hell. The gift of God is grace. I mean, and until you want grace, I don't think you're saved. You can want heaven all you want and want to escape hell all you want, but until you want grace, until you desire the grace of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and familiar, all these very familiar passages, but just want to notice some things about grace. 2 Corinthians 12:1-3. And we kind of use the word grace interchangeably with the power or the ability that God places upon us to get through things. And that's true. That is a grace. I mean, that's by grace. Anything that God gives to us or does to us, for us, through us, upon us, is all by grace. And so to use it interchangeably that way, I don't have a problem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we know the story about the Apostle Paul. Verse 7, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Just the first point that I want to make about grace is we see that word there, sufficient. It's sufficient. Sometimes we talk disrespectfully about grace. We say, "Well, I'll just barely make it through by the grace of God." You know, we say things like that. No, grace is sufficient. There's enough of it. It is sufficient for whatever the issue may be. Whatever the situation. In fact, as we read what Paul is saying, he is not saying it's just barely enough. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying it's better to have a problem and grace than no problem and no grace. It's more than sufficient. What grace can do in a life is amazing. It truly is. It is sufficient. We look at people and we may dread their circumstance. We may look at what they're going through or what their child is going through or look at something, but grace is sufficient. It is enough. Acts chapter number 7, if you'll turn there with me. Stephen is in this passage, he's preaching to the Pharisees, and they are just getting extremely frustrated with him. And in verse 54, it says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down." That signifies that he was under his own power. In fact, it signifies that he was under supernatural power. He was under the power of God's grace. At that moment, he just kneeled down and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." What we often call dying grace. It's amazing what grace can do. What he was suffering, what he was going through at that moment and that time in his life, and yet, it was as if he couldn't even feel it. It was as if he couldn't even feel the pain of the stones that were destroying his body at that moment, as if he were detached, and perhaps he already was. The grace of God is amazing. It's sufficient. It's sufficient for everything. It's dying grace. It's grace for every part of your life. Just going to read a couple of my favorite passages. Daniel chapter number 4, if you'll turn there. When I think of Daniel chapter number 4, I think of the transforming power of grace. In Daniel chapter 4, the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who had brought God's people into captivity, renamed them names by his own gods that he worshipped. We know the story, and we're not going to read the whole story, how that God humbled him, how that God brought him to the end of himself, and I believe God saved him. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter number 4 and verse 34. "And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar," and I think he's saying this as if he's shocked. "I, Nebuchadnezzar." Me, this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, "lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. And I," and you could almost put a question mark after that, like, "I, this guy, praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, 'What doest thou?' At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, and mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought to me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar," what a peculiar thing, "I praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven." It was such a strange thing. the grace of God transformed Nebuchadnezzar. I believe largely for the sake of his people. All whose works are truth and ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. What a peculiar day that the grace of God took an evil dictator, saved his soul. Seemed as though he was as baffled by it as anybody. Me, Nebuchadnezzar. I can't believe it. The transforming grace of God. We see that transforming grace all through Scriptures. Galatians chapter number 1. Paul retelling part of his testimony. In verse 13, he says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I was the single biggest enemy to the church of God." Me! I was the biggest enemy to the church of God and wasted it. "And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." He says, I was more zealous than all of the Pharisees of my religion. I was the worst of the worst. But when it pleased God. When it pleased God. What a phrase. When it pleased God. That's grace. We sang that song on page 200. The second verse of that is terrible. Implying as if our testimony can save people, but it may be what God uses. But notice, but when it pleased God, when he did it, that's grace. He was not only an enemy of Christ, he was an enemy of the church. Just think for a moment of all the people you know that way. You know, if you think about it, the saving of Paul would be like the saving of the Pope. That's who he was in his religion. That's who he was. The saving of Nebuchadnezzar would be like the saving of Barack Obama. It was amazing. It was amazing. What grace, the transforming grace of God. Think about people that you know that are enemies of the church, enemies of Christ. Some of them are predestinated. As we read there concerning Paul, but when it pleased God in his time, when it pleased him, it's amazing to think about what grace can do. There are people that hate grace. I mean, they hate everything about electing grace, and guess what? They're predestinated. One day the Lord will save them. It's amazing. I have witnessed to people that hated grace, later went on to preach about it. What a blessing. The grace of God is amazing. First Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll turn there. Verse 10, a verse that we know again. None of these are verses we don't know. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's true of all of us. And anything we're not is our own fault. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Notice, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It was no secret to Paul that he was doing more than the people of his day. That didn't make him proud. He looked at it and said, boy, God has given me a lot of grace. I've been working harder as an apostle. I've been making tents. I've been preaching to kings and governors and in the palace. And I've been in prison. And I have done this and this and this and funded my own way and wrote all these epistles. And it was grace. You know, when I read verse number 10, I say, Lord, give me grace. I want to labor more abundantly. So the next thing that I point out about grace is there's excelling grace. He excelled those that were around him because of grace. There was great grace upon the Apostle Paul. No one can deny it. You know, a lot of people talk about he was such a great this or great that. And the truth of the matter is he had great grace. It's great grace. You know, we've known men of great grace. We've known men of varying degrees of preaching ability, shepherding ability, different things like that. He had great grace. I read that verse and I pray, Lord, give me excelling grace, not to have a name, just to do your work. Just give me more. Work in me more. Place more of your favor on me. Ephesians chapter 3. We know this verse. Pastors preached several different messages from these verses that have been most encouraging to me. Times that I had nearly completely lost faith in prayer, have had this passage preached on and had it pull me from the edge of despair. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, that's grace, according to the power that worketh in us. That was what Paul was talking about. Excelling grace. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He said, I did more than the apostles, but it wasn't me. He stops. It wasn't me. It was grace. Oh, how we ought to long for the power of God working in us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. The grace of God. Grace is amazing. It is the gift of God. It's not just a gift. It is superior, it is supreme, and everything else is because of it and through it that we have. Amazing grace. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. I can't help when I read that verse but to picture the valley of dry bones. Because that's what happened. In our lives. It's a miracle. Every time someone's saved is a miracle. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, I'm not sure if that person can understand the gospel. Nobody can understand the gospel. Witness to them anyway. Witness to them in a coma. Witness to them if they're mentally ill. Witness to them if they're a child. It's a miracle every time it happens. It's the valley of dry bones coming together every time it happens. The fact that we can understand and perceive what little bit we do about grace has been a miracle that has taken place in our hearts. The world hates the doctrines of grace. And yet many of them are predestinated to love them. And even predestinated to preach about them. It's amazing. The power of grace. There's so many different aspects of it that we could look at and ponder and consider. These were just some that the Lord brought to my mind for this day and time. But there are many others. Things that we have seen in our lives, that we have seen that grace has done, that grace does and can do. It's amazing. It is sufficient. There's grace for everything. It's amazing to see the transforming grace of God, to experience the excelling grace of God in our lives, the power that worketh in us, the grace of God. It is the supreme thing, the supreme gift of God, that He places unmerited favor on us. We just cannot get unmerited through our mind. It is so hard to get that through our mind, because we get to thinking, well, if I was just a little bit better, I'd have more grace. We just don't have the foggiest idea about grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. It's the opposite of the way we think. We are His workmanship. We are the thing that He is doing. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It is good sometimes just to think about the grace of God. It is a cure for almost every ill. A storm comes into my life, and one of the first things I start thinking is, well, I did this to cause this, or I did that, but you know what? It doesn't matter. Grace is the cure for every ill. Every storm, every problem. There's a storm in your life, it probably is your fault. Every storm in my life, for the most part, it's my fault. But you know what? There's grace. There's grace for that. And it's a blessing. We'll stop there.